Greetings and blessings, dear listener. Thus far, I have given you the basics of our foundational truths. Now I will begin to flesh out our faith, beliefs, doctrine, and practices of the science of Christ. I will break these down into smaller segments for ease of understanding. As promised, I am here to lift your veil so that you may understand God and how to become closer to it. Greetings and blessings upon you, dear listener. This is the first segment in the Beliefs, Doctrine, and Practices episode for the Science of Christ. We will begin by defining God. According to us, the Science of Christ, and to the visions I have received, God is an intelligent energy whose nature is the creation of beauty, which grows and thrives with order, the natural laws of the world. In Scripture, John chapter 1, John begins by telling us what he too knows to be truth. Verse 1 begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." First, we have to understand what words mean. I have made mention of this previously. Word means thought, communication, intelligence, wisdom. All of these things mean word. And what are words? What are thoughts? They are simply different types of energy, utilized in different ways. Thoughts are quiet energy. Verbalization of those thoughts is obviously a louder energy, energy that speaks, an energy that has the power to create. All things begin as a thought. Even in our natural daily lives, something as simple as wanting to get a drink, we first have the thought, and then we put that thought into action by getting up and going to get a drink. This is simply the law of nature. Everything comes from thought. God is no different, my friends. God is the very beginning of thought. From God, all things have sprang forth. This is what we call God. And again, as I mentioned previously, sometimes we may refer to God as He or Him, but it is not a being, as beings are fallible. Beings are separate from the God energy. God itself, God Himself, if you will, is the very beginning, is the basis of thought. Greetings and blessings, dear listener. I continue on these episodes on our beliefs, doctrine, and practices with this segment on the Bible. The Scions of Christ believe that the Bible is the most complete set of instructions to guide our faith and practices. There have been many religions in the world, and all of them have a piece of truth. But none of them have as much truth as what you find in the Bible. Furthermore, the Scions of Christ understand that the Bible has been rewritten many, many times. Literally, thousands of people have contributed to it over the years. This, my friends, causes error. Either error is an interpretation, the emotion with which these scholars contributed to the Bible, and in some cases, willful negligence. Therefore, the Bible must be carefully interpreted. In order for it to be properly understood, one must have to be very close to the God energy. This is why I have been chosen to teach you, to remove the veil, to peel back the layers of all of those generations of additions to the Bible. We utilize the Bible to guide our faith, our practice, and our correction of each other. It does not matter what version of the Bible you have. There are many different interpretations. We have the English Standard Version, King James Version, New King James Version, and several others. It does not matter which version you have. What matters is listening to my words and understanding the spirit with which the scriptures were written and the meaning that is hidden within there. Greetings and blessings, dear listener. I continue on the segments of the beliefs, doctrine, and practices of the Scions of Christ with this segment on Jesus. The Scions of Christ understand that Jesus was especially selected by God to teach people the ways of God. He was born a man and rose to great wisdom in a relationship to God. We view Jesus as the first Scion. We call him Lord Jesus, as he was a man of great power, wisdom, and he was a way shower, which fits the definition of Lord. Once a mere man, Jesus became one with God energy, though he did not become actually God, as God is energy. And I want to bring your attention to a portion of scripture which illustrates this meaning, though this is also in a bit of a parable. We are back in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received in grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Now, if we unpack this section of scripture, it talks about Jesus coming amongst us, bearing the light of truth, which he certainly did. Now, if you are to think about the Bible, you hear almost nothing of Jesus being raised past birth. suddenly, after the birth of Jesus, the next thing in Scripture you hear about him is him teaching. Now, the infant Jesus was not out teaching people. It is estimated that when he began his ministry, Jesus was approximately 30 years old. We hear nothing of those years previous to this. This section of Scripture was written with a very basic understanding of life and of God and of Jesus' presence. No doubt, Jesus is the Son of God, but so are you, so am I. A little further on in the book of John, in John chapter 14, verse 20, it is clearly declared that God, Jesus, and each one of us, we are all one, for we are all within each other. This section of Scripture that talks about Jesus, or the Word, becoming flesh, becoming Jesus. This is true of all of us. However, God sends and selects special people in order to help teach, because our nature is rather ignorant. Very rare is the person who has the foresight or the insight to understand things with which they have not yet been in contact with. And even many times when people are in contact with things, it takes them a very long time to understand them. I have been chosen by God to share with you the truth, to uncover your eyes, because you have been subjected to many centuries of man covering up the truth, changing it, making it even more hidden, so that your understanding is not dull, so that your perception is clear, and your path to God is straight. I encourage you to go back to the book of John. Read this section of Scripture. Filter it through your understanding. Also filter it through logic and reason. And then once you've done that, go back to the book of John, chapter 14, verse 20. Add those two sections of Scripture together, and you will find that what I say is truth. Greetings and blessings, dear listener. We continue on the episode of Beliefs, Doctrine, and Practices of the Science of Christ with this episode on prayer. Considering the fact the Science of Christ understand that God is energy, Science of Christ do pray, and we may use words like God. We may petition God. We may say he or him, but we also understand that we are not addressing a being. But we do understand that we are speaking into existence the creative energy necessary to influence our world and to achieve goals that we have set. Also, we understand that prayer is in a very effective form of communication amongst people. If we are to take a person who perhaps is going through a rough time in life, if we are to pray with them, they understand that we are focusing solely on them, that we are speaking into existence positive, supportive energy for them. This brings great joy to their spirits. So we utilize prayer to focus our intention and to create a better world, to create the energy necessary to assist us, to focus us, and to steel our nerve. Greetings and blessings, dear listener. Welcome back to the segment on beliefs, doctrine, and practices of the science of Christ. Here we will talk about the practice of our faith as those especially chosen by God to hear the messages of the prophet. We will be people who are kind, gentle, and loving. We will forever seek to uplift our fellow man, to bring ourselves closer and closer to God energy. We will be righteous defenders of truth, knowledge, and wisdom. We will defend the weak. We will assist the poor. And in the practice of our daily lives, we will also have regular meetings with other scions, typically on Sundays, as this day is the most widely recognized as the seventh day upon which Scripture tells us to rest and nourish our souls. At these gatherings, scions come together to receive teachings as given by the prophet. We will break bread together. We will receive healing and anointing. We will pray together and support one another. A Science of Christ service is unlike other church services that you may have come into contact with. The Scion clergy interacts directly with the congregants instead of simply standing at a podium lecturing them. A Scion church service is far more personal, inviting, supportive, and interactive. We will break bread together. Having meals with other people makes our bond stronger. There will be a period of interacting with one another on a personal level. We may share our fears, our failures, our triumphs. Sharing with one another, supporting one another, strengthens our bonds. It also helps us to understand that we are not alone in this physical life. For all men fall short of the glory of God, and we are all striving towards the goal of becoming one with God. Scions of Christ churches will not be places of regimented lordship, though order and discipline is necessary. It'll be much more free, much more warm and inviting than other churches. We will also guard against those who would seek to harm us. In these crazy times that we are living, generations have grown further and further away from God energy. Therefore, all forms of evil have come about in the world. Evils that would seek to destroy people of righteousness. We will guard against this. Those who are of pure heart, who truly seek to understand the prophet and become closer and closer to God, these people are welcome with open arms. Those who would seek to destroy us and harm our people, these people will be judged righteously according to Scripture, and they will be shunned. Greetings and blessings, dear listener. We continue on these episodes of the beliefs, practices, and doctrines of the Scions of Christ with this segment on baptism. The Scions of Christ believe that complete immersion in water is required as an outward expression of our faith in God, in Jesus as the Lord, in the Scions of Christ Church, and a belief in the prophet of the Reverend Messenger Richard Baker. Baptism is a symbolic death, death to the self that was enslaved by the veil placed over God's word.
It is a death to the self who is selfish, greedy, and ignorant of God's word and nature. Baptism is also a symbolic resurrection unto a heart committed to becoming one with God through the righteous teachings of truth as given by the prophet, the Reverend Messenger. Baptism is commanded of us in Scripture. I bring your attention to the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus, as our first way shower, lived a life of justice. He did what was right, even when he didn't have to. We should be the same. Greetings and blessings, dear listener. We continue on the episodes of Doctrine, Belief, and Practice with this segment on the Eucharist. The Eucharist is also known as Communion. It is partaking of bread and wine and is yet another symbolic ritual. God is the spirit of sustenance, growth, and wisdom. Food and drink provides us earthly sustenance. Engaging in this rite symbolizes our commitment to bringing our earthly existence into union with our spiritual existence. The Eucharist in the Signs of Christ Church has also been called the bridge for this reason. The Eucharist is also a time where we reconfirm our commitment to the teachings of the prophet and of becoming closer to God. It is a regular reminder that we are dedicated to a path of righteousness. Thus, it is befitting for us to practice. Greetings and blessings, dear listener. We continue on our episode of Belief, Doctrine, and Practice with this segment on Confirmation. Confirmation is a celebration of a person who has had the veil lifted from their eyes and now who follow a life of truth in the Scriptures and therefore an existence closer to God. Most other churches, when they conduct this rite, they do so rather somberly. The Signs of Christ utilize this rite as a time to celebrate the congregant, the person who has dedicated themselves to a life closer to God. We always look forward to this. We love to celebrate our people. We love to highlight the richness that their membership brings to our congregations. Confirmation is indeed a joyous and blessed time. I know that we all look forward to your confirmation. Greetings and blessings, dear listener. We continue our episodes on Belief, Doctrine, and Practice with this segment on Reconciliation. This is also called Confession. It is where a congregant admits wrongs or expresses failures to a Sion clergyman. Scripture in both the Old and New Testament advise us to confess our sins and receive absolution for them. Sion clergy are equipped to handle such confessions, as well as offer words of advice and perhaps even counseling to correct the shortcomings and, of course, pray with the confessor. I wish to bring your attention to the book of John, chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Furthermore, the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." The reason we are to give confession to one another is so that our sins and shortcomings can be out in the light. Nothing that is hidden in darkness can be fixed, can be seen. When our shortcomings are out in the open, we can identify them and we can receive help in fixing them. Many people view the act of confession as a sort of submission to the clergy person. This only comes from the mind of the ignorant, of the infantile. Confession of our sins amongst ourselves is designed to uplift us. It is not meant to degrade us. It is not meant to control us. It is meant as a safe harbor, a place where we can come to our trusted person, the Scion clergy, who are not also bound by the laws of God. They are bound by your trust. They are also bound by man's law, prohibiting the sharing of private personal details unless those private personal details pose a real and significant threat to another person or to themselves. But the act of confession allows us to bring to light the things we should work on as people and as children of God. We should use this as a means to strengthen one another. Greetings and blessings, dear listener. Continuing on the segments of the beliefs, practices, and doctrine of the Scions of Christ, we come to the holy rite of anointing of the sick. Sickness may be physical or mental. Praying over an afflicted person provides that positive energy to help heal that person, also being especially selected by God. The Scion clergy are trained to use divine energy to directly influence and heal another. I bring your attention to the book of James, chapter 5, verse 13. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Again, we find not only more evidence for the rite of reconciliation, but also for the anointing and healing of the sick. Sickness comes from sin, us being away from the God energy that we so desperately need, living this life that has forgotten about God, coming into contact with things that are not good for us, that go against the nature of God. These are the things that cause us to get sick.
as well as the frail nature of humankind. So for the signs of Christ, we shall heal others.
Greetings and blessings, dear listener. Continuing on with the episodes of belief, practice, and doctrine for the signs of Christ, we come to the sixth holy rite of marriage. Marriage is a union of two people who are equally compatible, strong in their faith, and willing to pledge themselves to each other for eternity in the sight of God. Of course, the signs of Christ clergy are trained and prepared to unite two peoples in marriage. There is a bit of a lengthy process in order for a sign of Christ clergy member to legally marry another couple. There is a process which the couples will go through to ensure that they are in fact compatible, and that the marriage will last and be a credit to the church and to God. Greetings and blessings, dear listener. This segment brings us to the seventh and last of the holy rites as given in Scripture to the churches. I, as the prophet, will lead all of the churches of the signs of Christ, providing my guidance to them in their operation, as well as in scriptural instruction. The bishops, they will oversee several churches, or perhaps be supervisors of special ministries on a national level. The reverend, a shepherd who has served in the ministry for at least 7 years, and who has a very long track record of being a worthy candidate for the title of reverend. The pastor, the shepherd of a local church. These people are the first faces of the signs of Christ. They are responsible for the scriptural upbringing and support of each member within their church. The elder, a long-standing member of the church who has distinguished themselves as being selfless helpers, wise and well-versed in the messages of the prophet and of the Bible. Often, elders serve as board members as well. The deacon, a servant of the church. Deacons tend to support the functions and assist the pastor in the performance of their duties. The clergy of the signs of Christ are especially selected from the fellows who meet the scriptural requirements as found in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus. These overseers are well known to be selfless, strong in their faith, and tireless servants of the church and of its people. The signs of Christ clergy differ from those of mainstream religions. Prior to anyone even being considered for the position of an overseer, of a deacon, a bishop, or a pastor, we must know them to be selfless, to put others' needs above their own, to be strong in their faith, and to not be lovers of fame. The signs of Christ is not designed to bring fame and glory to anyone but God. Anyone who aspires to be a pastor or deacon or any of the other different levels that we have within the church, they must do so with a heart of service. Any of our clergy are servants of the people, servants of God, first and foremost. There is much more to be said about these various titles and positions and the duties thereof, but that is for another time. Here, I just wish to give you the basics, to give you an idea of the structure, what it looks like, and what it is supposed to do. With all of these various positions and the people within our churches, no one should ever be without help everyone should always be able to receive wise counsel at any time that they need it. Not only that, our people will always have someone to be there for them in the greatest times and the worst of times. Every scion of Christ has a heart of service for their fellow man. If you find someone who does not have a heart of service, who is not willing to give of their last crust to an orphan, they reveal themselves as slaves, not as a scion of Christ.